Father, I would ask that you would help me to express clearly what your word has to say concerning homosexuality and transgenderism and using the right pronouns. I ask that you would just provide wisdom, and again, not only for me, but for everyone in here, that those seated as I speak, Lord, I pray that you would give them insight beyond their years, that they would be able to say amen, not to me, but to your word and what it has to say. And help us not to be deceived in any way by misinterpretations, but help us, again, to have lucidity or clarity when it comes to these subjects. In Jesus' name, amen. So, have I just missed the proper interpretation of Scripture concerning those who are gay or homosexual? Am I just blind? Do I have the doctrine correct, not only for myself, but for you guys as well? Because this is a big deal. If we don't get this one correct, then there's a lot of error that we are prone to. You know, error begets error. Once you start heading down that road of misinterpreting the Scripture, the way that you interpret is going to breed more error if it is wrong. Then I started reading some articles. You know, that we are here in Lakeside, but there's a church universal. What is the church universal doing? Well, I have 5 articles here. Here are the headlines. And this is from June 20th, 2024. More than half of Jesuit Catholic universities promote Pride Month. That's the first one. So the Catholic Church is heading down that road. Second one, half of all Anglican pastors approve of gay marriage. 53.4% in favor, 36.5% opposed. And that was from September 7th, 2023. Another headline. United Methodist Church split. Since 2019, more than 7,000 congregations across the country have received approval to leave the Methodist Church. And there are almost 40,000 churches worldwide in the Methodist organization. I went to a Methodist or Wesleyan seminary. The next one. Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. More than 600 congregations of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which has more than 3 million members, split following a 2009 decision to welcome gay pastors, leading some conservative congregations to form the North American Lutheran Church, which has more than 140,000 members. So these are the articles which are out there. And the last one deals with the Episcopal Church. And has 1.6 million members, and there's been a division there. So the church is actually splitting on these issues, and it's across denominational lines where people are just accepting those who are gay in their lifestyle, and they're either ordaining them or they're marrying them, and they're giving their blessing. And even the Catholic Church is giving their blessing, but they're not performing weddings. They haven't taken that step yet. So I've divided this into a couple of different sections. There's homosexuality, transgenderism, pedophilia, sexual immorality, all of these different things. And I started asking questions. And I wrote these questions down, and I'm going to go back through, and I'm going to answer them biblically. Should we support the alphabet community, LGBTQ+? Should we support them? Say, what you're doing, it's good. We're standing behind you. It's okay. It's a wonderful thing. Should we participate in a gay wedding by attending or providing gifts, like a wedding as opposed to reception? I talked to somebody 2 weeks ago, and they said, you know, they have a family member, and they went to their gay wedding, but they didn't go to the reception. They thought that that would be the wrong thing to do. And then should we encourage or even promote drag queen story hour? Because this is part of the gay community and what they're participating in. Then there's transgenderism. Should we support someone who would like to surgically remove their sex organs? Somebody comes to you and says, a young girl, she says, I want to cut off my breast. Should we support her in that? Do you believe that if you do not give your support to anyone who wants to transition to another sex, that they have an increased chance of committing suicide? Have you heard that one? That if you don't accept them, that's the alternative to suicide. And you should accept them, that way they won't commit suicide. Pedophilia, does the Bible approve the pederastic or pedophilic behavior? Pederasty, there's a difference without a distinction. or a distinction without a difference in those two, and I'll explain that when I get to it. In sexual immorality, what does God think about any kind of sex outside of marriage of one man and one woman? Should we agree to address someone by their preferred pronouns? You've seen those. Call me they or them. My pronouns are they or them. And of course, there's people who come out and say, my pronouns are el guapo, which means handsome, you know, or something like that. Or call me, my pronouns are your majesty. Address me as your majesty. And kids are doing this because they don't agree with the pronoun behavior which is out there. And as believers, what should our response be to the current sexual, and the word is milieu, which means the current atmosphere or environment in our society. Where it is today, the whole blanket of the LGBTQ and the different flags that are out there, I can't even keep track of how many different flags there are now. Should we do that? And the whole month that is given to this cause, there isn't a month given to anything else, but only to this. That's how important it has become to the world. Should we ignore it? Should we speak out against it? Do we declare all sexual behaviors outside of the confines of marriage between one man and one woman that it is sinful and will be judged by God? Do we actually say those things, or do we do nothing? Do we just stand by, or is there somewhere in between? And I think this is a message for our day, because the church is split on the issue. Christians have different opinions. Even my pastor has a gay son. And when that came out, and his other son was killed in an automobile accident. So what do you do if somebody claims to be a believer? Do you keep them in your circle? Or do you, like the Bible says, you are supposed to take the one who is involved in sin and turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, and you're not to even eat with such a one? Is that what we're supposed to do? Well, the type of information I could bring you on the subject is voluminous. I mean, there's just so much out there. And I have to be careful not to run on and on and on. I'm going to endeavor to limit the message to the scriptures with limited commentary and then provide some closing comments. All of us probably know someone who is gay, transgender, or binary. I, right off the top of my head, I can think of five people that I know that are gay. I know people that have gone through, kids that have gone through the youth group. One has made a transition to a male. Another one, gay lifestyle. Two of them, gay lifestyles, and they're thinking about doing the transition to another sex. And when I say that, it's just mutilation. Is all it is. I want to be clear about that. It is nothing more than that. You cannot change the DNA of the person. You cannot change the brain chemistry. You can change the outside a little bit, but it's not what it is supposed to be. Now, please keep in the forefront of your mind, God loves the homosexual just like he loves everyone else. The thieves, the murderers, the adulterers who are out there, God loves them all. And so I want to make sure I do not come across as being, that is the worst sin in all of history. No, it's not. It's one of many sins which are out there, and God wants them saved and in the kingdom with everybody else. And then God the Father wants them to repent and believe on his son Jesus and thereby receive eternal life. So homosexuality. Should we support the alphabet community, LGBTQ? Should we participate in gay weddings by attending or providing gifts, weddings as opposed to receptions? Should you go to one and not the other? Should we encourage or even promote drag queen story hour? I've used this verse numerous times over the years, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. It says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And that is what some of you were. "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So homosexuality here is just in a list of many sins. They're all listed as something that can keep us from God. Now, I'm going to say this right up front. any of these sins involve individuals who would know inherently that it is wrong, because we all have that inside of us. God has placed that inside of us. And they choose not to retain the information. And they actually live that particular lifestyle, whether it's a murderer or it's a homosexual offender or if it's somebody who's a slanderer or a swindler. They know it's wrong and they say, I'm going to do this anyhow, or God will accept me just as I am. He created me after all. And not only do they participate in it, but they promote it even though they know God's word says, no, do not be deceived. Those people who believe that, they are deceived. People who are deceived don't know that they are deceived. It's our job to try to take away the blinders so that they can see that, no, that's not what God has taught. They have created God in their own image, and this is what they would do. God would accept them if they were God, and so this is the path that they have started to tread on. Then 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, it says, now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have entrusted. Now, this is the English Standard Version that says that. It's different in a few other versions, but that is what it is communicating there. And the enslavers, which I'll expand on in a little bit, it's men stealers, those who steal other men just for sexual purposes. And it's talking about men doing that, whether it is a prepubescent boy or somebody who is pubescent. That's what pederasty is. And pedophilia is just where it doesn't matter how old the child is. They're willing to engage with them in a sexual act. So a downward progression is taking place in our society, and as a result of our forgetting and excluding God from our national lives, which results in the practice of homosexuality. Let me say that in another way. As we're going to go through Romans here, the final thing when God's wrath comes is Him turning over a society to homosexuality. That's the final linchpin before God just completely backs away. If you start to judge our society, where are we? It is apparent from Scripture God has backed away. His providence, His providential care, which is His goodness towards us, He's pulling that back and saying, okay, you can have what you want. And I believe this is where we are as a society. Now, if you have a Bible, you probably want to highlight this with some asterisks. Just Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to begin in verse 18 and just kind of give a little commentary as we go through this. So the wrath of God, it is real, and it comes in different forms. For instance, there is the type of wrath, and John MacArthur talks about this. He calls it an eschatological wrath. When the tribulation period comes here, there's going to be wrath that is delivered from God. You have the seals, you have the trumpets, you have the bowls, and it's going to be a terrible time on the face of the earth, and that's called God's wrath. There's the wrath that comes from sowing and reaping. That's the second one, that God told the Israelites, do not do this or else this will result. Like, do not turn away from God and get involved in idolatry or you'll be kicked out of the land. There's the reaping and sowing. Then there's the calamitous wrath, or like the flood. God uses nature and He says, okay, I'm going to destroy the entire earth with this flood that comes in. We know in the future the earth is going to be destroyed by fire. Then there's the eternal wrath at the great white throne judgment, when people are judged eternally. It lasts forever. It never ends. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be regret to the maximum for those people who chose other than God, other than Jesus. And the type of wrath we're talking about here is desertion, where God just pulls back. He goes, okay, I'm pulling back, and His goodness is nowhere to be found. And things just get progressively worse because we have forgotten God. And it begins with that very thing where people are forgetting God. They remove God. They are refusing to acknowledge God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." So it results in prideful attitudes. What used to be considered knowledge and truth gets turned on its head, and the understanding of society becomes darkened. Now, this happened in our country. I think there was a linchpin event where this started. And this would be the Scopes trial in 1925, where the jury, they were informed about this idea of evolution versus creation. And what happened was the evolutionists came in and said, "Darwinism is the way of the future." And the creationists wanted creation taught in the schools. And the Scopes trial overturned all of that. And because of that, people forgot about the God of creation and how everything was created and how we have evolved. And that explains our origins. So we took God out. He is not the one that is the omniscient, omnipotent, he's all powerful. You know, he is not the one there anymore. We have removed him. Now, I'm going to bring up a name that you probably haven't heard in years. Madeleine Marie O'Hare. Now, if you know anything about her at all, she sued the Baltimore public school system and went all the way to the Supreme Court and ended prayer in public schools, where people were prohibited from praying in public schools. She also protested when American astronauts read scriptures during space launches, and that fact that there was a presence of the Nativity on the rotunda in the Texas Capitol. She protested that, and then she brought suit to have "In God We Trust" taken off the U.S. currency and to have "Under God" removed from the Pledge of Allegiance. Maybe you've heard people cite the Pledge of Allegiance and they leave out "under God." She was instrumental in that happening. So first we removed God from the idea of creation. Then we said, we're taking God out of the public square. Those were linchpin events. And this goes back, I'll read it again, Romans chapter 1, verse 21. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." And then what happened next after that? Well, you had the 70s and 80s, the sexual revolution, the free love. I can remember with my dad in the late 60s going up to San Francisco. And my dad, he was a Marine, and he had Brill cream in his hair, and he had his Territon cigarettes, and he had his Banlon shirts, and he'd take his Banlon shirt and roll up the Territon cigarettes in the pocket right there, and he had his Ray-Bans on, and he was a bad dude. He just was. And he decided he was going to take all of us up to San Francisco in a Plymouth Fury 3 station wagon with paneling on the side, and it was this forest green car, and it had the blinkers up on the side. We were cool. It's what we were. And we had a luggage rack on the top, and all the boys, there's four of us, we're dressed in white t-shirts and plaid shorts, and we have our Converse tennis shoes on with white socks, and we go to San Francisco, Haight-Ashbury. My dad decides to drive right through the middle of Haight-Ashbury. We're looking on either side, and my dad is using some expletives, and is talking about the hippies that are on either side, and you can tell some of them were high, and it was just quite an experience. I remember going through there. Afterwards, he got some coffee, and it was old coffee, and it was strong, and he said a few more words. "I'm going to turn around," but he got on the freeway. I mean, it was quite an exciting time to go up in San Francisco up there. But that was the time of free love. That was Midnight Cowboy later, you know, and then the black lights. Who didn't grow up with a black light and a lava lamp and all of that? And that was the time of the sexual revolution. And it goes on in verse 24 of Romans to talk about this. "Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another, They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the created thing rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And because of the rapid indulgence in sexual promiscuity, God allowed homosexuality to spread. So it started with just free love, and then it started to progress. In verse 26, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust one for another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. And so if you notice there in verse 26, as well as verse 24, it says God gave them over. In other words, he pulled back. He stopped prompting individuals to do what was right. He said, go ahead. You want to do this? Go ahead. So homosexuality is the final evidence that God has taken his hand of providence, his loving care, away from a society and has given it over to wrath. That's the beginning in verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed. Romans 1:28. It says, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. How many times in the past few years have you said, why are they doing this? This is so wrong. You know, it goes into the drag queen story hours and the way that they're dancing in front of children and the parents thinking it's okay to take their kids to events like this. And it's being praised and celebrated in the media and everywhere that you turn, it's basically being praised. Verse 29, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And if you can turn on the news and you can see people say, we want to kill all the Jews, and nothing is being done about it. Nobody's being prosecuted. It's not being deemed as a terrorist threat. And I saw one instance of a guy, he was wearing something, some shirt, it was half political, half religious, and some Muslim guy came up behind him and said, I'm going to stab you in the neck. He just wanted to take the guy out. And it's like, that's where we are now? We have such hatred for the truth that we want to kill other people? And they invent ways of doing wrong? Have you seen the protesters like at Columbia, who incidentally they got all off, that Bragg, same guy who's prosecuting President Trump, he let off all the protesters who took over one of the halls that were there, and they were coming out with plastic trash cans that are cut and used like shields, and they're covering their face, and they're inventing ways of doing wrong, and Stonehenge, and you know, you saw how the powder was thrown on that, and they're doing that just to create mayhem. They want mayhem so that they can come in and institute the reforms that they want to claim they can stop the mayhem. But they're the ones that are doing it. It's called a false flag operation, where you do something to create chaos so you can come in and put in your reforms and change society. That's what's going on before us. Not many people recognize that. We simply stand back and go, why are they doing this? Well, we know why they're doing it. They want to change society. Now, other verses that address homosexuality. Jude chapter 1, verse 7 says, and don't forget the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, all full of lust of every kind, including lust of men for other men. Those cities were destroyed by fire and continue to be a warning to us that there is a hell in which sinners are punished. And this is the Living Bible. But it says the same thing in the other versions. So, the questions that I originally gave you. Should we support the alphabet community, LGBTQ? Well, there's a few other verses still. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. If a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They must be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. So it used to be the death penalty in scriptural times for homosexuality or the practice of homosexuality. Should we participate in just saying, oh, what you're doing is good? Let me ask you this. Do you want to participate in anything that God says, this is wrong and people are going to hell as a result of it? Do we want to encourage them in that behavior, or do we want to tell them with love and respect, this is wrong and you're bringing judgment upon yourself? I'm going to let you judge that one. Should we participate in a gay wedding by attending and providing gifts? Weddings as opposed to receptions. Should we do that? You know, I've given some thought to this, and I taught this in the youth a while back, and my opinion hasn't changed. I believe that if you show up to a wedding and you say nothing, and it's a gay wedding, and you say nothing and you are there in approval, we are doing a disservice to those who are getting married as a gay couple. If we go, excuse me, if we go to a reception, it means we are actually celebrating that. The first, the wedding, people say, you know, we don't want to show that we're unloving. It is not unloving to ever speak the truth. The truth is always the loving thing. For instance, doing what is loving, our society has deemed that disciplining your children is an unloving thing, to actually use corporal punishment. What does the Bible say? The Bible say, if you love your child, you will discipline them. If you don't love your child, you won't discipline them. In other words, if you hate your children, you will not discipline. If we hate people, we will not tell them that this is wrong. If we love people, we will tell them. It is the most compassionate thing that we can do is speak the truth to save them from eternal damnation. That's what the Bible is teaching. And again, I just went through how the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. Because of that, homosexuality has become prominent, which means God has pulled his hand away from the United States, and where's the rest of the world? He's pulling his hand away from the rest of the world. This is one way we know that it is the end times, because God's providence and care is being pulled back. Now, not completely, because God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. He does have his hand on individuals out there, but corporately or nationally, several places God is just pulling back his providence. So should we go to a wedding? I don't think so. And we should also in that communicate that this is wrong, and I would ask that you do not go down this road, that you read what God's word has to say, or you memorize the words and you give it to them. And will you be rejected? Probably 98-99% chance you're going to be rejected. And if you just tell them, you know, I can't because God says it's wrong and there's going to be a judgment as a result of it. I love you. I want you to be saved. Anything that I can do to facilitate that, I want to help you. But normally, when somebody is in this particular lifestyle, they will either find themselves disgusted with you or even turn violent. That little side note, now I've dealt with people in the gay community before. There's a place up in West El Cajon, somebody saw me working. I was working at a particular house doing some landscape work, and they came up to me and they asked me a question about how I take care of my landscape. And I said, yeah, that's how I do it. They said, well, could you come and give us a price? And I said, yeah, I can come give you a price. And so I pulled out my card. I gave him the card, and the guy looked at it and he paused for a minute. And he goes, okay, I'll see you in a few minutes. So his house is just down the street. I got in the car, I went down the street, and he comes up to me, we're still outside, and he's holding the card. He goes, New Life Landscaping, are you a Christian? And I said, well, it just so happens I am. And he goes, well, I'm gay. I said, okay. And he said, well, we're kind of opposed to each other. And I tried to explain to him that I'm not opposed to you. you know, God wants to save you. I don't know if I said exactly that, but I tried to reason with him that we're talking weeds here, okay, you know? And he said, that's it, you know? I'm sorry, we can't do business. And I said, you know, that's discrimination based on sexual orientation. I'm a heterosexual, and you're discriminating against me because I'm heterosexual. And of course, you know, I didn't start getting violent with the guy or anything. I said, okay, you know, and so I walked away. And that's how the gay community sees Christians, is you are on the other side. I know some people who are witnessing up in Hillcrest, and they were told, you know, your kind's not welcome here. You need to just vacate the premises, so to speak. And they were told that. I know some other guys. One guy's name is Sean, and when he was here in San Diego, he would go to the Pride Parade. And of course, you had to pray before you do that. He'd also go down to Burning Man, and he would get in there, and he'd start witnessing to everybody in there. So there are infiltrating spies that are going to this place, and that is a ministry all in itself, and you have to be prepared for that. But he's going and giving the gospel to them. But Christians are the enemies to homosexuality. And there is a spirit behind that. So should we encourage or even promote Drag Queen Story Hour? This is where men dress up as women. And they dance and they tell stories and they make it like it's a fun time. If you have your Bible, and you probably want to write this one down in the front of your Bible, it's Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. And I'll read it to you. A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear woman's clothing, for the Lord your God detests anyone who does this. So it's detestable for a man just to put on the clothing, but that's not the entire meaning of this passage. The entire meaning of this passage is, do not take on the attitudes and behaviors of the opposite sex. That's really what it's saying. Don't become feminine if you are a man, and don't become masculine if you are a woman. Now, are there feminine men and masculine women? There are, and I will be the first to testify, some seem to be born that way. Not that they're born gay, but they're just born a little more effeminate or a little more masculine. That just happens. But God says, don't take on that as an identity. That's what's being communicated here. And at the very least, it's don't put on women's clothing if you're a man, and don't put on men's clothing if you're a woman. Don't take that on. Now, some people would say, well, that's the law. That was under the law. There is the civil law, how you're to act with the government and people around you and your neighbor. There was the moral law, the Ten Commandments, and then there was the ceremonial law. Which one is this? This is the moral law. This is not the ceremonial law, which was done away with. God wants us to keep the moral law from the Old Testament. Now, a few stats here for you. You know, this idea that the gay community is being celebrated. Domestic violence is higher in the alphabet community than it is in the normal population. And I know it's hard to follow numbers, but just kind of stick with me here. 43.8% of lesbian women and 61.1% of bisexual women have experienced rape, physical violence, and or stalking by an intimate partner at some point in their lifetime, as opposed to 35% of heterosexual women. So it's higher. The abuse that takes place among lesbians, there's a regular stream, so to speak, of women getting abused by their intimate partners. 26% of gay men and 37.3% of bisexual men have experienced rape, physical violence, and or stalking by an intimate partner in their lifetime, in comparison to 29% of heterosexual men. So it goes up to 37.3%. It's higher. It's like the men with an intimate partner, they get raped by their intimate partner. In a study of male same-sex relationships, only 26% of men called the police for assistance after experiencing near lethal violence. In 2012, fewer than 5% of LGBTQ survivors of intimate partner violence sought orders of protection. I mean, it just goes on and on. There's more death, there's more violence, there's more problems, rape, all of that stuff is higher in the homosexual community than it is in the heterosexual community. What about transgenderism? Should we support someone who would like to surgically remove their sex organs? You know, this one. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to mutilate your body, it was considered something that was a worshipful act to these other gods. This was done in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 26. God wanted to make sure that the Israelites were separate from the nations around them, that they did not participate with those nations. That's why they were not allowed to marry in those other nations or people from those other nations. They had to marry within the Israelite clans. In Leviticus chapter 19, verses 26 through 31, this is some of the distinctions that are made for the Israelites as opposed to the other nations. Do not eat any meat with blood still in it. The nations would do that. Do not practice divinations or sorcery. The other nations did that. Do not cut your hair on the sides or your head of your head or clip the edges of your beard. And what would happen is the pagans, they would cut like a bowl cut on their hair, and their beard would go down and they'd cut it straight across. You can see this in the Sumerian and the Babylonian reliefs that are out there. And God said, don't do that. And that's why the Jews, they grow the curls. You know, they think, okay, I'm not going to cut the corners of my head. They misinterpret what's going on. They don't need a curling iron anymore. They could get rid of those. It's just, don't be like those other nations that give this bowl cut that's up there, and they do it for religious purposes. Now, if you're a Marine and you have a bowl cut, okay, praise the Lord. You know, it's great. Like, rough and tough, hard to blow. That's good. You know, go along that line, but don't be like the other nations. And then it says in verse 28, do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourself. I am the Lord. And they did this for religious purposes. That's why they would cut their bodies. That's why they would do the tattoos. Do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will turn to prostitution and be filled with wickedness. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. So all of that was to keep them from being like the pagans around them. And then in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 24, remember the prophets of Baal? They cut themselves when Elijah was up there. Where's your God? Is he sitting on the toilet? Was he taking a rest? You know, he's not coming down and consuming the bulls that you have set up there. And remember Elijah, he set up a bull and poured water on it and the rocks and everything. And God licked all of that up, took that. Well, they were cutting themselves for religious purposes. And also the demon-possessed man named Legion in Mark chapter 5, verse 5, it says there, night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This is a case where it was demonically influenced. Were the other cases demonically influenced? I believe they were. It was for their religious practices. And I've already talked to you about these gods and these other nations, and they would require this, and they would require child sacrifice. So anything, specifically cutting of one's body, was associated with demonic worship or possession, and those in the scripture who disfigure their bodies had some kind of connection with demonic realm. People today that want to cut off parts of their bodies or disfigure themselves on purpose, and there are those people, I believe they are demonically influenced. Now, there is a, and you can look this up, it was in the Huffington Post. I can't believe this happened. A woman blinds herself as body identity integrity disorder makes her believe she is meant to be disabled. She blinded herself, pokes out her eyes, because she thought that she should be disabled. That is demonically inspired. And there was a climate activist years ago. He laid down on train track and he allowed a train to run over both of his legs, and he lost both of his legs, and he did that as a protest. That's demonic. That is nothing short as coming from the devil himself. And if somebody came to you and said, you know, I just don't like this arm. I'd like to take off the arm. What would you tell them? Great, man. Go ahead. No, you wouldn't tell them that. Or my leg, you know, I just don't like this leg. You would tell them, are you crazy? Don't cut off your leg. What about the people who disfigure themselves? Have you seen the cat guy and the lizard guys and how they disfigure themselves? I'm telling you, that is demonically inspired and led. that you would become something else, that you would disfigure the body that God has given to you. Do you believe that if you do not give your support to anyone who wants to transition, to another sex, that they may have an increased chance of committing suicide? Remember, this is a choice that we've been given by those who promote this. If you don't support them in their transition to quote-unquote another sex, they will have a greater chance of committing suicide. I want to tell you that's a lie. That is not true. LifeSite News. Elon Musk took to his social media site X to announce a major finding, a scientific study: gender reassignment surgery doubles risk of suicide for men. So the risk is double for anybody that is a man that goes through that. It also, it rates the psychiatric emergencies before and after gender-affirming surgery. Thank you. Yeah. Pardon me. And it was in the Journal of Urology. It concluded that suicide rate among men who undergo vaginoplasties more than doubled after the mutilating surgeries. And if you've seen these detransitioners and the living hell that they go through to try to detransition, to go back, it's like they were a man, they wanted to be a woman, then they want to go back to being a man. I can remember back in the 80s seeing a documentary about that, and they focus on this one guy who said, "I made a mistake," but he lived his life, the rest of it, as a mutilated male. And it's like, this is sad, but nobody's talking about that. That's not permitted. That is called misinformation, disinformation, and it is perpetrated on the public by the corporate media, which is out there, and the tech companies. They don't want you to go down that road. They want people to transition. They want to mess up society and the lives of these individuals. Should we agree to address someone by their preferred pronouns? I'm just going to tell you, no. If someone wants to come in and change a language, they want to force you to call them or address them by something that is nonsensical. This is what, if you know him, Jordan Peterson, this is what shot him to fame. It was because he, as an educator, a professor, he was going to be required by the Canadian government to address people by their preferred pronouns. And he says, "I won't do it. It's not a good thing. It is unhealthy, and I'm going to refuse." And he said, "And if they throw me into prison because of it, I will go on a hunger strike." And he just went against them. And he's losing, or is in the process of losing his licenses because of this. They're going after him full-throated in Canada. Now, 7 minutes. What about HRT, hormone replacement therapy? You know, they're giving these hormone replacement therapies to children as young as 5 and all the way to age 13 and beyond. Can you imagine a 5-year-old thinking a girl that she's a boy and she starts taking this? You know, the HRT makes the person sterile. They will no longer be able to have children. And a 5-year-old comes up and wants to dress like the opposite sex. And you think, well, they're really a boy instead of a girl. Let's give them these shots. And they give these to chemically castrate sex offenders that are at risk of offending again. That's what they do. And it changes the chemistry in the brain, and the person is not the same. How many of the transgender individuals going through HRT have violent tendencies? Have you noticed in the news that there have been a couple of these individuals that have gone on rampages with firearms and killed multiple people, including children, teachers, instructors? This happens. Does the Bible approve of pederastic or pedophilic behavior? This is a difference with, or excuse me, a distinction without a difference. It's homosexual behavior. It's where men go for boys. And it is being promoted, and it's going to be added on to the alphabet community. It's just a matter of time. And it's trying to be presented as something that's normal and natural, even by those in the media. But God will say, no, this is the last linchpin of God's providence being taken away. Sexual immorality. What does God think about any kind of sex outside of marriage with one man and one woman? Galatians 5:19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if somebody chooses to live like this, as Corinthians says, they are deceived if they think God is in approval of this. That's why a lot of these people, they turn away from the church, or they try to get into the church and change the church from the inside. Transgenderism, suicide rate increases if somebody goes through transgenderism, which I have already told you that. Facts about puberty blockers: when adolescents are using puberty blockers, bone density growth flatlines. Bone density growth flatlines. A 5-year-old or a 10-year-old, they're going to be unhealthy for the rest of their lives. And that's from the New York Times, November 2022. It also, as I previously stated, causes infertility. And then I have so many statistics on this. I just want to tell you, it's the wrong way to go. And it, with little boys, if they give them the hormone replacement therapy, it causes atrophying of the testicles, and they never recover. So the sterility happens to those. So I want to apply all this. The rise of homosexuality is due to the lack of reverence for God, and it is the last indicator that God's wrath has already come to society. That's where we are. I know that's not a pleasant news walking out of here. I feel so encouraged today. It's the times in which we live and what we as a society have allowed to happen. And it's still time for us to stand up and say, no, this is wrong, in the most loving, respectful way we can do so. There are so many. My heart goes out to those who are in a gay relationship, who have been there for years, who are married and come to the realization, this is wrong. That means they have fallen in love with somebody of the same sex, and if they want to do God's will, they have to separate that. The pain and anguish that they'll be experiencing, or the kids going through the hormone replacement therapy, if they decide when they get to 16, no, I don't want to do this. And where they find themselves never able to have children, their mind is never going to be the same because it changes the chemistry in the brain. And we're promoting this stuff. And our society can't even define what a woman is. And it's just really getting bad. So God does not approve of sexual behaviors outside of marriage, including homosexuality, adultery, pornography, pedophilia, bestiality, incest, fornication, transgenderism, or those who identify as non-binary. God is not for any of that. And it's our job to stand up and be a witness. And if somebody can coerce you into just going along with this, I want to give you a quote by Voltaire. Anyone who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. And that's where we're going as a society. You know, we are heading down this dark road. Romans says our understanding is darkened. And so for the person out there who is struggling, and by the way, Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, I already read this. If we think that it's them, Scripture says, no, it's us. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. If anybody could stand up in here and say, I've been sexually pure since I've existed, they would be lying. There's no way. Whether in mind or in deed, we are all guilty. And so that's how we're supposed to look at people that are going through this. We're not to beat them over the head or to show them the love of God. Do everything we can to communicate properly what God has to say about this. He wants them saved. He wants them in the kingdom. And that is our task. We are His hands on this earth. Let's pray. Father, I feel sorry, Father, I'm grieved for those people who are caught in this lifestyle, especially those who realize it and don't know how to get out. I pray that you would bring them into our paths, that we could assist them, as Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, that you who are spiritual, restore those who are caught in a sin. Give us the opportunities, Lord. Give us wisdom, the words we might speak. Help us to be prepared for persecution, disapproval that may come our way. But help us to be bold enough to speak your truth, for that is the most loving, compassionate thing we can do, to warn a world that is dying, falling away, and coming under your wrath. In Jesus' name, and the church said, please stand.